Our meditation tonight in the name of Jesus is how. How do you get soul? How is one actually a soul? The little book I mentioned this afternoon that I've been reading, The Chosen, is all on this particular subject and how a father brings up his son in total silence. He doesn't speak to him except when they're studying the Talmud. Because it's in the Hasidic tradition that if a son is born who is brilliant but doesn't have soul, that his soul can come if the father will only give to him the kind of pain and suffering that will permit him to identify with the suffering of men. This man's father had brought him up in the same way, and he was what is called a tzaddik, which comes from the Hebrew word tzaddik, righteous, the just one, the righteous one. In the Hasidic tradition, the concept of someone who becomes a vicarious sufferer for the race, that there is such a one in each generation who carries the suffering of men. As we know from our study here, the lay theology that came out of the circle that produced some of the figures in our contemporary world like T.S. Eliot and Auden and Dorothy Sayers, the keynote of the whole circle was again this concept of interchange, of carrying the sufferings of others, that only so does one become a soul. And this is evident from the scriptures. I've told you the story about this kind of a nitwit storm pilot that picked me up one time when I was hitchhiking and told about how he became a living soul. As they were sharing in a reunion from the Royal Air Force, all the Americans who'd served with the Royal Canadian Air Force in a Christmas time reunion during the early Depression, and instead of getting drunk, they'd shared all this money together in a common treasury and gone out to give fruit baskets and toys to one of the wretched areas in Chicago. And he said that night he actually had a real drunk for the first time, and the next morning a different kind of hangover. And he realized this must be what Christianity was all about, and he had to get hold of it, because that night suddenly he had found a soul, what it meant to be soul. He had discovered this bond with suffering humanity that makes us truly human. And he kept reading the Bible until it laid hold of him. He found that peculiar verse in the Old Testament that says, sin came and the soul died. We became separated from God and one another. We became prisoners of ourselves. One of my women in a parish said, oh, to get a vacation from myself. A very wealthy woman, and she said, I can buy anything, I can't buy that. And I said, no, that's what Christ came to give us. Just this is what it means to be in Christ, to be his body, to be sharing the suffering of our common humanity. That's what we spoke about last Sunday night when we spoke about prayer. There'll be no intercession, there'll be no prayer until that suffering lays hold of us, which is to abide in me and let me abide in you, and which is his joy made full in us. To let the man of sorrows and acquainted with grief become our life, so our life is hid with Christ in God, and we share his verlorene Liebe for all men, that forlorn love that is willing to be hurt, that's willing to be broken, that's willing to be crucified for the sake of our fellow men. That's what it means to be crucified with him. And it's when this love of God lays hold of us that our world cannot be simply centered in our self-pity and our little wounds and our petty ego and its small hurts. But humanity lays hold of us and we become one in it. That's the meaning of Holy Communion. And the earliest comments on Holy Communion that we have in the church, the letters written by man on his way to his own martyrdom, stress just this, that through this bread, just as this grain has come from many grains and becomes one loaf. As many grapes make this one cup, so we too are many are made one. And one with one another to bear one another, and with one another to bear all men. The meaning to be the church is to be a priest for all men, a holy priesthood. The church exists for humanity. It's the one institution on earth that does not exist for itself, nor for those whom it has already won, but to exist for those who are still outside of it. It's the one institution that walks on its knees, confessing its sin, sighing over its shortcomings, and where it is grieved this suffering love and has not been identified with it for all men, but has been caught in a false concern for itself, for its establishment, and not caught up in that rapture of God which is suffering for all men. This is where we become a soul, and where God lays hold of us with his love. When the other becomes me, and I become him, for there is this happy exchange. And that's what happens when Christ is real. The wall between us is broken down. We can't say Jew and Christian. He has borne us in the promise. We bear him in the fulfillment. We suffer over him even as we see how much he suffers, as still a symbol of God's people suffering this world in a unique sense for the sake of God's will for all men. The 6 million dead in the concentration camps during World War II are part of that ongoing vicarious suffering of this peculiar race for the all races, of which Christ became the fulfillment, and the seed by which we all become the seed of God. Seed to fall into the earth and die that we may bear much fruit. Seed that does not seek its own life or we shall lose it, but loses our life to find it. That's what Holy Communion means. That's what we mean as we come to the end of this great Trinity Pentecost season. That the Holy Spirit is given to give us a soul. And that means to identify us with the suffering of all men on this earth, apart from God and without hope, that we may give it hope and bring them to God as we suffer over them and pray for them and love them back to him. And that's our calling. It isn't to have everything pleasant. It isn't to find that everything's worked out beautifully for us. It's to share in the frustrations of God over his fallen race, until every man is a brother in Christ, and all men are one under one Father, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And when we come to Holy Communion this night, this is what we celebrate, that we are one. One in his suffering love for us. One in his suffering love through us for all men. And so we suffer with and for one another, and we suffer one another. We bear with one another. We forbear one another because God has been forbearing with us and has overlooked our transgressions. We overlook those of one another and love and cherish one another in the Lord. It's a love feast, and it's a love feast that we anticipate when it shall belong to all men, when we shall drink this wine new in the kingdom of heaven. It's the eschatological moment of the kingdom, and remember that the institutional word said, henceforth I shall not drink of this fruit of the vine until I drink it new with you in the kingdom of heaven. And he says, with longing have I desired this moment, as he establishes this kind of a feast of love for all men, in his body broken, in his blood shed, and in our body broken and our blood shed in him and with him for all men. And that's what this tremendous moment means. A recommitment, body, mind, soul, strength, to love God, and in loving God, our neighbor, as ourself. That's what the silly virgins missed and the wise virgins found. Soul. The very soul of God himself and his suffering love, whose name is Jesus Christ. So as we do all things in the name of Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father through him, we take in this moment that gift of God himself in the broken bread and the consecrated wine as his shed blood for us and for many. I want to read, as summing up the texts of this day and the last Sunday of the year, the church year, the section that's in the 58th chapter of Isaiah, when he says, wherefore have we fasted, and thou seest not, they ask. Why have we afflicted our soul, and thou hast taken no knowledge? And then God answered, behold, in the day of your fast ye find pleasure, and exact all your labors. Behold, ye fast for strife and debate, and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day, to make your voice to be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush, and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? And I think you all see how this applies so much to the kind of popular conception of Holy Communion as a time to kind of beat yourself down and to put yourself through the ringer and to come up drawn and feeling so much what you are not that you hardly dare come. But that's not what Holy Communion is. It's a time when God lays hold of us with himself to make our life this kind of a fast. Is not this a fast that I have chosen? To lose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh? Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, Here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, and speaking vanity, and if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry, and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. Then shalt thou have so much soul, thou dost not need die to go to heaven. It shall be part of you, and the kingdom of heaven breaking forth through you, in God's kingdom, breaking forth the men on earth. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. And they that shall be of thee shall build up the old tailings. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. Then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted in the earth. I will break your swords into plowshares, and men shall learn war no more. As we come now to the end of the pilgrimage in this year of our Lord, we remember all those who have been part of our fellowship, and that the glory of the Lord may be upon them as they give their bread to feed the hunger and take the poor into their home, and as they heal the afflicted soul, in whatever place they may be and wherever they are. We remember them. And remember those whom God will put before us, through whom he will speak to us, in whose face he will be seen by us in the coming year, and that we fail him not. that we are angry with the anger of the Lord upon all that frustrates his will to be done on earth. And suffer for righteousness' sake. And seek justice and pursue it. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the poor. And they that mourn. God shall be their comfort, and he shall satisfy their mouth with good things, so that their youth is renewed like the eagles. And as he gives himself to us now in this Holy Communion, he would do it through us. We pray for his church in every place where it is persecuted or is tempted to despair, for it is confused, for it is broken up into its divisions by the envy and competitiveness of men, the world that is ever with us in the church. We pray for the homes of our land and of every land, and for the realization of God. In openness to one another, in tenderness and suffering love. Remember all who are part of God's healing in every place. And for those who seek the healing of the nations, remember those concerned for order and justice in the land, for humility in those who rule, and for understanding and wisdom and good judgment. And we pray for the outreach of the kingdom, for the recruitment of those who will preach the gospel, for those who are trained to be more effective servants of the Lord in the colleges, universities, seminaries, for those leisure pursuits of men as well as his productive activity, and for his discovery of the rest of the Lord in the midst of his work. And we praise him who does all things well and who is patient with man and does not let his wrath endure, but has been broken upon the cross for us. And we thank him for the fellowship of this place, for its openness and large-heartedness toward one another, and the absence of a judgmental and critical spirit. We pray for those absent from our circle, Werner and Judy, Horty and Mary, Harv, Sharon. We pray for our loved ones absent. And that we all together might be filled with that love of God, which is to have soul, to be a part of his eternal life now, because he that has the Son has this life. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he'd given thanks, he brake it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, when he'd supped, he took the cup. And when he'd given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. Drink ye of it. And as often as ye do break this bread and drink this cup, ye do show forth my death until I come. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now let us wish one another the peace of the Lord. And the peace of the Lord be with you forever. And the peace of the Lord be with you. This is Christ's body broken for you. This is the blood of Christ shed for you. Thank you. Our crucified and risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who now has bestowed upon us his holy body and blood, wherewith he has made full satisfaction for all our sins, strengthen and preserve us in the true faith unto everlasting life. Peace be with you. Amen.
Beautiful Savior, King of creation, Son of God and Son of man, truly I'd love thee, truly I'd serve thee, love
adoration, now